I want to read a few verses for you and bring you some thoughts on the wonderful grace of God. Jeremiah chapter number 52. If you didn't bring a Bible, look off of somebody, Bible by you. You'll want to listen. And this is a wonderful story. And I want to do my best to show you God's grace in your life. Jeremiah chapter 52 and verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 52, verse number 31. And just going to read the last few verses here about a man named Jehoashin. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoashin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month." Does anybody know what day that is? December 25th for us is the way we would think of that, not equal to their 12th month, but it's interesting. Amen. In the 12th month, in the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoashin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon every day, a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. The Lord's help, I want us to look at these verses and a few others and consider the wonderful grace of God. The wonderful grace of God. Let's pray and then we'll get right into it and I will get done surely before 2 o'clock today. Nobody is happy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Bless this time around the Word of God and may our hearts be open. May the Holy Spirit of God speak. Just not me, but may He speak to our hearts. May He go beyond what I can into the depths of the heart of every person and search each one of us and know if we're saved and if we have not been saved, that He might bring conviction if we are saved, that, Lord, You might see in our hearts if we're the kind of a saint of God that You would have us to be. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful passage of Scripture and the great thought of the grace of God. In Jesus, we ask You to do wonderful things. Amen and amen. When reading this passage the other day, there are just some things that stood out, and I wrote them down. And with the Lord's help, I want to preach about the wonderful grace of God. We read about a man who went into captivity and for 37 years has been in prison. 37 years he has been in prison. He was 18 years old when he got promoted to king. And 3 months later, Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, came, besieged Jerusalem, and carried him to Babylon, and for 37 years, he has been in prison. He is 55 years old. I think we would all agree that most of life has passed. Amen? I mean, if you're at 18, you've got the whole world in front of you. I'm almost 55, and the whole world ain't in front of you. Most of it, if we live to be 70, has done been in the past. And so the Bible says in 2 Kings 24 and verse number 9, you don't have to turn now, I'll read this for you. "This king Jehoashin did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done." He had an evil heart. And the Bible says that the Lord had tried to warn the kings of Israel for several years. This has been almost 1,000 years in the making, and God has been trying to warn Israel over and over and over and over, get right with God. Israel had this, had some good kings, but they had some bad ones as well. And there was this tendency not only just to do bad, but to do worse than the guy that was before you. And so they had idol worship. They had all kinds of what we would call religions today. They had every kind of foul and filth that this world could offer them. And God had had his fill of that and said, I'm done. There's no sense to ask for forgiveness. There's no sense to try to make this right. I am going to do what I said I'm going to do, and you are going into captivity. 18 years old, goes to prison for 37 years. The Bible says, now all these things happened unto them for our examples, that are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So you and I can learn something today from this passage of Scripture. The first thing we can learn is if you're a Christian, you ought to be thankful for the grace of God in your life. And if you're not a Christian, you ought to be thankful for the grace of God that can deliver you out of the prison of sin here today. I don't know about you, but 37 years in prison makes no impression upon my life for desiring wanting it to happen. Amen. I don't want to go to prison for a minute, much less for 37 years. And let me say this, that 37 years was all deserved. That 37 years, and had he stayed in prison until the day of his death, was all deserved. But there's some kindness showed to him. And the Bible says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared toward men, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And Jehoiachin is going to be the recipient of the kindness and the grace that he did not deserve. There was nothing in Jehoiachin that could have earned him this pardon. There was nothing about his life that would have earned him forgiveness or freedom. And you and I have nothing that we can offer to God to earn the forgiveness of sin. There is nothing that you and I have that God could be well pleased with. In fact, the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. And so there's nothing about us. Now, here's what's interesting. And I'll get to this if I don't later, maybe tonight I'll explain a little further. Here's what's interesting about this. There's a great picture of Jesus in all of this. And I didn't realize this. I'd read all of these passages several times, and I never caught this. And I was reading a commentary, and this guy brought this out. And I said, well, I've read that. It can't be like that. But here's what the Bible says. If you look there in verse number 31, the Bible says, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month. Is that what it reads? All right, now you don't have to turn there unless you just want to after a while. But in 2 Kings 25 and verse 27, the Bible says on the 27th day he was delivered. Now, if you're quick like me, you think 25 and 27 are different days. Now, if you're a mocker, you'd say, oh, see, the Bible's wrong. So I thought, boy, there has to be something to this. By the way, the 12th month of the Jewish calendar would have been our like late February, mid-March type of day. And so the Bible says that on the 25th day in Jeremiah, and on the 27th day in 2 Kings chapter 25 and verse 27, I believe it is. And so what is the difference? Well, here's the difference. History says that Nebuchadnezzar died on the 25th. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of kings as far as earthly kings were concerned by God. He is the statue of gold mentioned in Daniel's revelation. He is in that statue, he is the gold head. He is the supreme king as far as kingdoms are concerned by mankind. He dies on the 25th. Of the month. His son assumes the throne on the 25th. They had some strange rules back then to laws, and one of them was that once a law was made, it couldn't be changed. That was the laws of the Medes and the Persians. But what we find is that
on the 25th that his son had made this decree that Jehoiachin could be released. The problem was the law forbade him from being released. The authority of the king said you're free. The authority of the law said you're not. His son, now I don't have time to go into all this, but you can look it up if you want, and I'll tell a little bit maybe here at the end of the sermon. But listen, history says that his son, on the second day, on the 26th, got his dad out of the grave. They didn't do funerals like we would do. They would instantly embalm them and then, you know, kind of wrap them up and prepare them for a life of being in the grave. And so he died, he was buried. But on the 26th day, his son mentioned here got his dad, who he had a bad relationship with, and I'm not justifying this, I'm just telling you how this all happened. And he drug his dad's dead body all through Babylon, thereby making all of his laws void. On the 27th, Jehoiachin, with all of the law against him, now abolished, is set free. Here's a picture. The death, the burial, and the resurrection on the third day. Let me read you something here. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I put in there, glory, glory, glory. And so here was the authority of Jesus Christ saying they're free, but the law that was against them. And Christ went to Calvary and died and fulfilled all of the law, all of the law's demands against sin. And on the third day was raised for our justification. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a wonderful picture of God's grace written for us. So I want to give you, I think there's like 87 points I have here, but I want to give you three or four of them. Look in your Bible here, and I want to talk to you about the wonderful grace of God. What happens whenever a person gets saved? What happened to Brooklyn whenever she got saved? What happened to me when I got saved? What happened to you when you got saved? What will happen to you when you get saved? Amen. Look at what the Bible says here. Here's a man, 37 years in prison. His life is gone, 55 years old, and he has no reason to be pardoned. And all of a sudden, there comes a voice from the outside in that says the sentence has been erased, the sentence has been forgiven, and Jehoiachin, you are free. And the Bible says that the king, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin. I want to mention to you today that he lifted him, and God lifted us one day. Whenever you got saved, you got lifted up out of sin and death and judgment and the wrath of God. When God saved us, he lifted us up. I love to read these verses, but in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, he brought me also up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Man, whenever I got saved, I got lifted. Listen, can you imagine year after year after year after year after year after year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, close to 40 years in the prison, in the dungeon. By the way, their prisons weren't much like ours. There was no rights to prisoners. They were to serve and they were to be punished for the evil that they did. And the Bible says that he lifted, don't you know the Bible, as the Bible says he lifted his head, don't you know year after year, being in prison, your head would just get lower and lower and lower. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we may not be in a prison today as the world would see it, but there are people that are in the prison of sin for long over 55 years and are dead in their trespasses and sins. And thank God today that God can lift us. He can lift you up out of the horrible pit of sin and death and despair and deliver you from that hold that the devil has on you. Boy, I thought about that and I thought, thank God I got saved. Amen. I got lifted that day. I got lifted out of sin. I got lifted out of death. I got lifted out of despair. Jesus Christ lifted me. The Bible says here, he brought him forth out of prison. He loosed him. Boy, I like that, amen? Can you imagine? Can you imagine 37 years being in the prison and out comes the call, you're free. Let me say this, you'd be a fool to stay in prison. I mean, you'd be a fool to say, well, you know, I've been here 37 years, might as well just live it on out. No, I'll tell you what, you get out of prison, you better count your blessings and go. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ has offered to loose you today from the hold sin has on you. And the whole death has on you. He has offered to loose you. And you'd be a fool not to take that offer. Boy, there's many that's been in prison justly. And for whatever reason, there's been a pardon offered. The president usually, whenever they leave office, they usually grant pardons to maybe friends or some associates of theirs or whatever the case may be. He has that authority to authorize a full pardon in human eyes. But God has the power to offer a full pardon in heaven's eyes. And the Bible says he loosed him and brought him forth. He brought him forth. Let me say this. The Bible says here he lifted up the head of Jehoiachin and brought him forth out of the prison. Now you can believe ever how you want. I believe old King Merodach, ever how you say his name, I believe he went down there and got him. And I don't have time to go into it, but he had been in prison himself. And he made a friendship with him. And I believe he went down there and he said, Jehoiachin, I'm the king now. And all of my daddy's laws that condemned you are erased and you are free. And I'm going to lift you out of this prison. And I'm going to loose you out of this prison. You get a hold of my arm. And as we walk out being the king of kings around here, I'll make sure you get out and you go free. Friends, I was bound in sin and hell and death and the judgment of God. And one day Jesus came to where I was and said, listen, I rule over death now. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You come with me and I'll walk you through and out of death's door and into life's door. And I was just willing to do it. And I've been loosed ever since. And thank God, ladies and gentlemen, Jehoiachin never, ever went back to the prison. And I have never went back to death. Thank God for his grace. Isn't it wonderful to be saved today? To think of the grace of God? Not only this, but he lauded him. I remember when my oldest brother moved out to North Carolina and he had been out there for a long time. One day, they came back one time for a visit. And I kept hearing my brother say a word, and I thought, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. He said, Lord. I said, what? He said, Lord. Lord what? Lord what? Amen. Well, I found out what he's saying. The word Lord means to speak kindly. It means to offer good things in abundance. The Bible says, and he spake kindly unto him. You know what most of us do when somebody does wrong? We make sure they never forget the wrong they've done. But I'll tell you what, old King Evil Merodach, or however you say his name, he didn't say, hey, Jehoiachin, you old sorry, rotten rascal. No, he said, come here, friend. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus is a friend of sinners? And he speaks kindly to us, kind words of grace and goodness. Hey, listen today. I'm here to tell you that the grace of God will always deal kindness to you if you'll receive it. He doesn't always remind you of the bad you did. Hallelujah. The grace of God forgives you and washes it away. The Bible says he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says he puts it behind his back to never be remembered no more. The Bible says he puts it in the depths of the sea. The Bible says it's under the blood, and he speaks kindly to us, and he never remembers that old dead life that I had. The ordinances that were written against me are nailed to the cross. And there Jesus stands in front of the cross, and the Father don't see him. All he sees is the righteousness of his Son. The Bible says he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let me put it this way. He became what I was that I might become what he was. Boy, thank God. I've never had a bad word from God. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Them are kind words. Gentle shepherd. Over and over we read of the kind words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman taken in adultery. Jesus kneels down. Them old accusers start making them remarks. And they said, hey, the law says she ought to die. What do you say? He kneels down again. Pharisee number one, this, and this. Pharisee number two, this, and this. And everyone being convicted. And all of a sudden the woman's there by herself. Now the Lord doesn't look at her and say, now listen, you old harlot. You ought not to be doing that. You know that's sin. You know what he says? Woman, where are thine accusers? She goes, they're not here. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You talk about kind words. You talk about gracious words. What you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, or today, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he'll talk to you very kindly. In fact, whenever he draws you to salvation, it's very kindly, in a loving manner. Praise the Lord for that. Number four, he legitimized him. I'm trying to keep them all else. That's the only thing I could come up with. The Bible says here, he set his throne above the throne of the other kings. It was a legitimate pardon. It wasn't something that was shaky or shady. It was legitimate. See, back then, the throne had the place of authority. It had the place of respect. And not everybody got to sit on the throne. But Jehoiachin did. Folks, I'm telling you this tonight, today. Whenever God saved me, whenever God saved you, and if you'll let God save you today, the Bible says this, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. You know what a king does? King doesn't lead the mule around. You know what the king does? He sits on the throne. And everybody who comes in to him knows he's the king. You know what? Whenever I got saved, God gave me something that I never had before. And God made me something I wasn't ever before. Here's old Jehoiachin down here in the lowest part of the prison. And now he's raised up on the throne. Here I was, a sinner, bound for a devil's hell. And now I'm raised up to sit with my heavenly Father in heavenly places. And I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places also. Why? Because my position changed. And if you get saved today, your position changes. You're no longer the servant out there working and laboring in the rain and in the cold and in the heat and in the elements of the world and the problems of the world. No, you're the king's son now. You're sitting on the throne with him. The Bible says one day we'll rule and reign with God. Boy, won't that be something? I'm just telling you the wonderful grace of God that took a man for 37 years bound in prison and no reason other than grace to let him go. Let me give you another one. He lavished him. The Bible says in verse 33, he changed his prison garments. Man, can you imagine being down there in the prison? They didn't have Maytag back then. So a prisoner might wear his garments for 30 days. Working for 30 days, sweating. They didn't have concrete floors and bunks and all that. They just had dirt. And they wanted prison to be the most miserable place, so it was the most feared place. The dirt, the smell, no hair washed every day, no face washed every day. His body, no doubt, dirty. Come here, Jehoiachin. You're going to walk out with the king now. If you're going to be around the king, you've got to look like kingly company. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. That young girl who married that guy over in England, they've showed a lot of pictures of her on news. It seems like she makes the news like 7 times a day. But you know what? She don't dress like she wants to dress anymore. Whenever she accepted the role as his wife, they tell her how to dress. And she don't dress the way she wants to. Hey, listen, whenever I got saved, whenever you got saved, that old dirty filth that we had been in called sin and the hog pit, wallering with the pigs in sin. Now, you may be a good pig, but you still wallering in sin. Amen. The Bible says, whenever God took us out of that horrible pit, he changed us. Say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me tell you. We're now clothed with a robe of righteousness. We look like the king's son, is what he's saying. We're coming walking down, and they distinguish us and say, man, that's the king's company. We better listen to him. He's on the throne. He's got the change of garments. Remember that old prodigal son? The Bible says he was down there in the hog pen. But when he came home, he was still the son. And the Bible says his dad ran and he met him and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Can you imagine kissing that old dirty, smelling, stinking thing? But boy, as his dad. I remember Brother Shelton telling me a story one time, and he said, Brother Tim, there was an old boy years ago walking many miles down to the Ford ahead vehicles and walking down to the jailhouse, stopped to go see his son, and he stopped by his neighbors. And the neighbor asked him, said, hey, where are you going? He said, oh, my son got in trouble, and I'm on my way down to the jailhouse to see him. The old neighbor said, I wouldn't go down there and see that sorry thing if he is my son. The old boy looked at him and said, yeah, if he's your son, I wouldn't go see him either. But he's my son. That old man wrapped his arms around that old boy that was dirty and filthy and smelling like the pigs, who had squandered all that his father had given him. But he was his son. and he loved on him. And he called to the servant and he said, bring here the robe. Change this boy's garments. This boy don't need them dirt. He's my son. And they put a robe on him. And they put a ring on his finger. A ring to represent identification with the family. Let me read you this. The Bible says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity pass from thee. And I will clothe thee in change of raiment. And said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. And they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments as the angel stood by. Listen, whenever I got saved, God took off the clothes of sin and death and judgment and clothed me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I've been saved ever since. I may not always look like a saint, but I'm a saint of God. I've got Jesus Christ. When God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of his son. Boy, I'm telling you, when you get saved and you get into the grace of God, boy, wouldn't you hate to stay in prison? Be down there in the prison house and out comes the call. Jehoshaphat, king, said you can go free. He said, no, I just stay down here in the prison. Guarantee you, buddy, he looked up and thought, hallelujah, it's paid out for no reason. It's good. Let me give you one other one. He loaded him down. The Bible says, look at verse 33. And he changed his prison garments, and he did continually set bread before him all the days of his life. Now, if I read that right, he, being the king, set food before him all the days of his life. I don't know how else to explain that, except there's no plates there. I don't know how else to explain that, except to explain it the way that the Bible says it. Comes mealtime. Ding, 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 ding. 5 o'clock. Here's old Jehoshaphat sitting at the king's table. And the king comes over, says, Jehoshaphat, sure are a good man. Here's supper. Here's the king serving Jehoshaphat. He set before him all the days. Now that not only means, it may not mean that. You say, well, preacher, I don't think that means that. Well, then here's what it means. Then Jehoshaphat, whenever the king sat down, Jehoshaphat sat down. He was always in his presence. I believe I read this in the Bible. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Hey, Jehoshaphat, time to eat. Where's Jehoshaphat at? Come on in. Sit down by me. See them garments? They get you a place at the table. There's a parable given of the Lord. I'm going to try to finish right here. There's a parable given by the Lord that said this. There was a man who made a wedding feast and there were some people invited and they wouldn't come. And so the Lord told the servants to go out in the highways and hedges, and so they did and they brought in. But to get into the wedding feast, you had to have on the wedding garments. Now back then, their garments were much different than us. You could, you know, weddings today, you can just come as you are and leave as you weren't. Amen. And so they had a wedding garment. And when the Lord of the house, the guy that was in charge of the wedding, walked in, he happened to notice a guy that didn't have a wedding garment. He walked over to him and he didn't say, hey, you scoundrel. He just said, hey, friend. How'd you get in here? You don't have a wedding garment. And he began to make excuses here and there. And he said, this place is only for the wedding guests. And they bound him and cast him out. Now that's a picture of those that aren't saved. You'll be cast out one day. Oh, Jehoshaphat, if you're like me, about 9 o'clock, you've worked so hard from 6 o'clock in the evening to 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock, sitting doing nothing. You think, sure am hungry. Sure could use a snack. Jehoiachin puts on his new garments. He goes walking over to the kitchen where the servants are at. And they see him. 3 days ago, he wouldn't have got a crumb. But he's got on different garments now. He goes walking in there. Says, I'd like a Twinkie. I'd like some ice cream with chocolate syrup on it. I'd like some hot apple crisp. I wouldn't mind a Rice Krispie treat and 4 or 5 Reese cups, if you don't mind. And they said, yes, sir. I'm telling you, listen, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you get saved, you got all the things that you got because God is with you. Because your garments have been changed. Your position has been changed. Your place has been changed. Everything about you has been changed. And that which was dim and dark and dreary is now light. Man, I'm telling you, the wonderful grace of God, ye that were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened. And made us alive. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, Jehoiachin had nothing to say, but thank you, King. Thank you, King, for being so good to me. Now let me give you the rest of the story real quick. I'm just like Paul Harvey. Rest of the story is right here. Nebuchadnezzar, his daddy, was a great king. And I believe he got saved. But it wasn't long before, he didn't get saved at the beginning, but he got saved at the end. His daddy had a problem thinking, I am the King of Kings. I am as great as God says I am. In fact, I think I'm a little greater. Daniel, the prophet, had told of a statue, of an image that the king had dreamed about was gold and silver and brass and such like. And Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. He was the greatest earthly. By the way, that's the time of the Gentiles started. The Bible says that Daniel went to the king one day and he said, King, he said, I got some bad news for you. God's seen the pride of your heart. And if you don't humble yourself, God's going to humble you. And the king said, who's God think he's dealing with here? I am the King of Kings. The Bible says in the 12th month, he was walking through the palace of Shushan there in Babylon, and he says, look at all that I... Boy, I tell you what, I am great king. And the Bible says that for 7 years, he went out and eat like the animals. He lived out in the woods for 7 years until he learned that the God of heaven is the one who puts people on thrones. In that 7-year period of time, his son was the king. When his dad became king again, came back to his senses, Nebuchadnezzar, the history tells us that his dad was unpleased with his son. So he put him in prison. And here's old Evel Mordech being touched with every feeling of affirmity of Jehoiachin, just like Jesus was. He went through death to rescue them that had gone to death. And whenever Evel Mordech, Drach, whatever you call his name, was released out of the prison and assembled on the throne, he remembered those that were just like him. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Today, if you've never been saved, you'll never find a more wonderful picture of the grace of God in human history than that one right there. Let me tell you today, whether you know it or not, you are bound in sin. You were born into sin. Just like old Jehoiachin was born to doom, so are you. You could be the king, but you're doomed. And today, you have been in sin, whether it's been a year, or 10 years, or 20 years, or 30 years, or 40 years, or whether you're 50 years old, or 60 years old, or 70 years old, and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you are in prison. A spiritual prison today. And sure enough, you stay in that prison, you're going to die and go to hell. But there comes a voice. Freedom to those that want it. Here comes the Savior down to the prison house of sin. Comes by your heart today. And He kindly knocks on your heart's door. Get real still or you won't hear Him. Hey, in there. If you want life, open the door. You ever see that picture of Jesus in the garden standing there knocking? The painter there never put a handle on Jesus' side. It's on the inside. He says in Revelation 3:21, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." If you'll open your heart today, Jesus will lead you out of that prison sin. You know, for Brooklyn's family here, Brooklyn's, how old are you, Brooklyn? Where are you at? How old are you? 9 years old. You know, Brooklyn hasn't killed anybody. She hasn't done a lot of wickedness. But you know what? She was born into this world the same way everybody else was, born into this world a sinner. And when I baptize her in a few minutes, I won't be baptizing her to make sure she goes to heaven. She got that settled a few weeks ago whenever she got born again. You know what? She heard a voice knocking at her heart that said, "Brooklyn, if you'll open up and receive me, I'll make you a child of King. I'll change your garments." And now she's walking around as the King's child. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Wouldn't you rather get out of the prison today? Why in the world stay in prison of sin and darkness whenever God has offered freedom? Amen? When He's offered pardon and forgiveness. While I've been preaching, and you've not been saved, the Holy Spirit of God, way down deep in your heart where it's just you and God, has been dealing with your heart. That's because He loves you. And if God's been dealing with your heart about getting saved, why don't you come to the altar and let me take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I'm going to have Miss Rachel come and we're going to have an hymn of invitation. Let's bow our heads for a moment. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we're done. Father, we thank You for this day. And Lord, for the opportunity to be in the house of God. Now, Father, we pray that You'll bless this time of invitation. And there might be somebody here, young or old, that's in sin's prison that knows they need to be saved. You've been dealing with them about being lifted or loosed or blessed or whatever. I pray, God, today that they'll respond. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking around. Maybe somebody today say, "You know what, preacher? While you've been preaching, I think God's been dealing with my heart about that very issue. I think." No one looking around, their heads bowed. Maybe you slip your hand up, put it right back down and say, "Brother Tim, I really think God has been dealing with me about that. I don't know that I've ever had a pardon given to me by God." Well, listen, if you've never had a pardon given by God, then you can't ever go to heaven. God has to grant you that pardon. Change those garments and put on the righteousness of His Son. Let's stand together. Miss Rosemary's playing. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. Maybe today you need to come.